I can feel it. Can you feel it? It's the Hagmann Report, Wednesday, March 19th, 2025. Wow. So we're about 24 hours or so after post-release of the first tranche of the JFK files. We have seen a lot of stuff happen in the last 24 hours, including but not limited to Owen Schroyer, my friend at the InfoWars, Owen Schroyer, getting swatted. And folks, I got to tell you something right now. This is really starting to piss me off. Okay, I'm going to talk. You know what? This is really starting to get under my skin. Maybe I guess that's the point, right? Somebody is going to die because of this, be murdered because of this, whether it be a police officer or the intended target of the swatting. Look, adrenaline on both sides is high, runs really high when this stuff happens. And I was watching a little bit of Alex talking about this about Owen Schroyer. And about Owen saying, you know what, I really didn't want to come out with this because it just encourages more. Look, they don't, it doesn't matter. And I'm just going to leave it there because I'm not going to talk out of school, but I'm just going to say this. There are more people right now that this is happening to than you realize. The Tesla, the attacks on the Tesla dealerships, And these morons that walk out there and damage property. You got Tim Walz out there. Do you realize we dodged a bullet with this election? I mean, no. We dodged a nuclear war. I'll say that. But a nuclear attack. Can you imagine, folks, Harris, Walz? Oh, does that hurt? Just me thinking about this. And then you had an arms standoff near the CIA headquarters today. I thought that was David Lee Roth for a second. I don't know. But then I'm still stuck in the 80s and 70s. It ended with the perp taken into custody. Apparently he was mumbling something. There was an open mic moment, which is incredible. It's on my timeline on X, open mic moment where, in my EMS days, I've had a couple of those. And let me tell you, that ain't good. That ain't good. But the open mic moment, the two cops were talking about what this guy was yipping and yapping about. So anyway. It's Hagmann Report, at Hagmann Report on X, as well as with me right now for the next 60 minutes, count them, Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, a lot, not a little. And then an hour or two, I've got some stuff. I got some stuff from my stack of stuff. Can you tell I spent 12 hours... going through the JFK files today. 12 hours.
I think a crackhead.
I had my dose of Dexedrine. Yeah. I told you I was stuck in the 70s. All right. Folks, go to healthmasters.com or teamhealthmasters.com. That's where to go, really. And the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Folks, all the links will be in the program description box at HagmannPI.com. Hagmann, two N's, HagmannPI.com. Click on the title for today's show. And all of the links will be there, including the link to Health Masters, so you don't have to remember it. But, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you care about your health, if you want to feel good, if you want to feel good, take care of your body, go to healthmasters.com. I was talking to my accountant this week, he's a little bit older than me, okay? And we were talking about aches and pains and stuff, and I said, you know what you got to do? And right there on his computer, I said, type this in, and he did. And I said, now bookmark that website. Do you take supplements? Oh, yeah. Where do you get them? I get them down at the pharmacy, which I won't name the pharmacy because I said, no, go here, get these. And he said, thanks, I will. So hopefully that his order will be coming in soon. But folks, seriously, the best nutritional supplements on the planet, healthmasters.com, teamhealthmasters.com, really. That's their new website. If you're stuck on, you know, retro, it's Health Masters, but Team Health Masters for the new stuff. Austin, come on board. Let it rip, my friend.
Doug, it's been a great time. Glad to be on the show as always. Always a pleasure. And yeah, there's been some crazy stuff that's been going on. I saw a whole thing with Scheuer. And, you know, I think sometimes these leftists like to play these games where they basically, you know, they kind of have these copycat crimes, so to speak, where they think it's going to be funny, where they're going to swap people. And they call up 911. They say, oh, it's so-and-so address. He's got a firearm. He's running around outside. He's unhinged. He's threatening people. It's all completely and totally fabricated lie. The person's in their house sleeping. And then, you know, you get into MRAP shows up, you know, 4, 5, 6-man SWAT team shows up. And yeah, it's extremely dangerous. It's unbelievably illegal. And it's completely and totally out of line. And this isn't a joke. It's not funny. And I really, really think that they need to start having some type of, I don't know, ramifications that are far exceeding what they already are now, that people that make these kind of calls falsely, because these are very, very dangerous things to do. And secondly, it's unbelievably illegal to do. I mean, you're getting SWAT teams that are deployed for emergencies, for active shooters, for barricaded subjects, and you're deploying them unilaterally, basically by line, and sending them to people that aren't doing anything at all simply because you want to, I don't know, think it's funny, or maybe you do want to get somebody shot. I don't know, but it's not something that's going to go well, and it's a not only is it a giant waste of time and taxpayer dollar, it's extremely dangerous. It can end up deadly, Doug. So I'm glad he handled that properly. But the problem is when stuff like that happens, I mean, down here in Polk County, we got probably one of the most aggressive advanced sheriff's departments in the country, the Polk County Sheriff's Department, and they're very good at what they do. They're very actively trained. Almost all of them are retired military, and they've got the equipment and the tools to do it. But, you know, when they come in for something or a barricaded subject or active shooter, I mean, they're not there to play around. They're to engage. Yeah. And that's the problem people don't realize when they play these stupid games and are calling cops like this.
Well, and then you have these people who think it's funny to order pizzas in the name of the murdered InfoWars reporter, Jamie White.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. It's sick. These people, the people on the left, I truly believe, are sick individuals. Mentally ill. And you know, I'm so tired of seeing all of these clowns. I mean, they're painted up like clowns. They're tattooed. They got bones through their noses, you know. They've got rings in their lips. Purple hair. They look like...
They're ridiculous. They're completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then what's funny to me is, like, when you encounter one of those individuals, especially if you get in like a disagreement or a confrontation with them, they get so mad if you point anything out. You're like, dude, you really look ridiculous. You have 87 piercings in your face and your hair is 4 different colors. I don't really know what to say to you right now. That's really going to make much of a difference. They flip out. And I'm like, you do understand, like, behavior has consequences, okay? I don't care what you think society is supposed to owe you. It doesn't. When you go out in society and you look like a clown and you dress like a clown and you operate like a clown, people are going to treat you like a clown. It's really, yeah, really simple math. It's not hard to figure out. But for some odd reason, a lot of these individuals, they're so entitled, they think that society owes them some level of respect, no matter how unbelievably insane they act or look. And that's simply not a choice. You look like a clown, you get treated like a clown. You act like a respectable human being, you're probably going to command respect. It's really simple math. I don't understand why they can't get it. I really don't. Kind of just odd to me.
I don't. You know, back, I watch, when I do watch TV, I attempt to learn from what I watch in terms of just looking at the culture of different eras and such. And, you know, it really, the mark that in terms of our culture, the change in our culture really does correspond with taking God out of schools back in the early 60s. But that also corresponds with the things we're seeing today about JFK, the JFK files.
Yeah.
I believe wholeheartedly you've got the MK Ultra program going on today, as it was back then. But there was a marked change at that period, where our culture was assailed by the removal of God and the infusion of government programs, anti-American government programs, and this communist onslaught. That's just what I'm thinking. But anyway, go ahead, sir. What's on your radar right now?
Well, I know the JFK stuff's caught a lot of people are talking about. I haven't had a chance to get through a lot of the stuff on it. Have you made any major reveals or findings on it yet? Or are you still digging through all of it too?
I found some interesting things. Okay, a lot of people seem to be relying on AI. Okay, which
I've heard that. I'm like, there's a lot, and all this stuff's raw material, like on old documents.
Yeah, and I don't even know how they do that. I prefer to look at the documents with my own eyes, and I don't want somebody to tell me what it says. I want to read what it says.
Right.
I haven't really, nothing has surprised me. Although the confirmation, for example, that JFK was under CIA surveillance, I don't know whether you knew that, as well as Oswald, for totally different reasons, and JFK also under, and we knew this, FBI surveillance as well, but there was some teamwork there between the CIA and FBI. I'll tell you what. I do believe in the coming days you're going to see some comparisons made to Dallas Dealey Plaza and Butler, Pennsylvania. I believe that to be the case. So,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, that's in terms of the what, I guess, the template for action or inaction. And again, I want to be very careful with how I want to, or how to say that. But I do believe that what happened in Dealey Plaza, you can superimpose that over Butler, and the dots won't be far off. That's just my initial assessment. So, and there were some other interesting things there, confirmations of things that we already knew. But, Dr. Jerome Corsi wrote the book, The Final Analysis. Roger Stone wrote the book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, meaning LBJ. I think all of that's going to be confirmed in The Final Analysis, in particular with respect to the president's brain and the things that happened to him prior to his arrival at Bethesda. There's going to be some information, I think, in that, if it hasn't been already destroyed, that is going to suggest that his body was tampered with prior to Bethesda. I think we'll get confirmation on that. But go ahead, sir.
Well, no, that's why I've been curious. Like I said, I hadn't had a chance to go through it. I've talked to a few people, and that's why I was curious, because I knew a lot of stuff, more of it. I mean, because it's so much information, more of it's going to come out. One thing that I kept following, and Ted and I covered today on the show, is how we've had the insane amount of these Biden-appointed judges that are just going in now and showing their cards as far as what they stand for, their communist agenda. One of them, they said now dismantling of the USID is completely unconstitutional, federal judge ordered. Now they're ordering to restore all access for employees, all information, all payments, all emails, all security notifications, electronic systems, basically telling them to remantle USID. It is completely unconstitutional to dissolve that agency, even though we've now blatantly seen that agency directly involved in money laundering across the entire world, not to mention spending money on some of the most obscene things that doesn't even make sense. And then we had the judge today come out and block the new EPA administration from blocking. So essentially, the new EPA came in. They said there's about $20 billion in grant programs that are vague and unsubstantiated, that essentially they do not show anything legitimate, and basically they need to be blocked. They're frozen. And this federal judge came in now and said that the EPA doesn't have a right to stop the grants that they already approved because the judge deems it so. And I was laughing on the show today with Ted, and I said, isn't it funny? With Chevron doctrine, the communists like to defer to these alphabet agencies and say, oh, well, the EPA said we need to do this. They're mandating this across the board with every vehicle manufacturer. The EPA said it, then that means God said it. I'm being sarcastic, but that's how they act. Well, then all of a sudden, the new EPA comes in, the new EPA, you know, basically, and they say, this is not okay. There's $20 billion in fraudulent green money here that are grants that are going literally basically money laundering. Like you said, we're blocking these grants until we figure out what's going on. Federal judge goes, whoa, 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 EPA. You don't have the right to stop those grants now that you've already approved them. So you have to give that money out now. And it reminds me of the same thing we saw the other day with that stinking piece of crap judge that came in and said, oh, these violent, illegal alien criminals, they're transporting out of the country. Flip the airplane back around and bring them back to the United States. You don't have a right to deport illegal aliens and bring them out of the country. And Trump's like, no, they're over in international waters, bro. You can suck it. Like, we're not flipping the plane around. And it's crazy to me now how we're seeing how corrupt our process has become now with these judges, with over 250 judges that Biden administration put in, and how they're just going in now, just ruling from the bench. Doesn't matter what's happening. Trump doesn't have any rights. The administrations that are basically alphabet agencies don't have it. Nothing matters anymore. The judges can simply just rule any way they want at any point in time. And this is getting pretty crazy. We knew it was going to happen, but it definitely it's definitely going to be a fight on our hands now going forward.
Yeah, I'm going to toss some. I'm going to get your insight and opinion. And chat, too. Feel free to jump in with your opinion. This is what I'm thinking. When I'm looking at these activist black robe activist judges, terrorists, basically, terrorist sympathizers, and I'm seeing their decisions. Okay, here's the only thing that I can really, the only thing I could think of when I hear these rulings is that all of them are conspiring to set up either an impeachment or a contempt, more likely a contempt trap for President Trump or for the Department of Justice.
I fully agree with you on that. I think what they're going to do is they're going to try to pull so many stunts that they're going to get something set up, because the problem, and we all know this from a law standpoint, if you want to tweak enough laws and find enough statutes, you'll figure out a way that somebody breaks the law. Right. I mean, we saw this with the whole thing that happened with January 6th. I mean, normally most people that get trespassing on federal grounds get like a fine and get like community service. Oh, not if you're at the protest. If you're January 6th and you walked around the Capitol stairs and you were trespassing, you go to jail for an indefinite period of time with no pretrial release and no bond. And they just hold you to black site until you confess to something. So we saw how they can manipulate this. And I think that's what they're going to do now, is they're going to try to go in and start ruling this stuff. Because here's the problem. If these judges now are deeming that they have a right to block and control and stop anything that gets issued, are they going to do this now with Robert F. K. Jr.? Are they going to come in now and say, oh, by the way, you don't have a right to go in now and stop this funding from being going for with like RNA gene therapy? You know, this COVID shot.
Absolutely. I think they're going to do that. It's all out warfare.
Yeah.
This is a judicial coup. And I think this is coordinated. The D.C. Circuit in particular, I think all of this is connected and coordinated. And I think this contempt trap with which they're trying to set up, it has meaning. And then Roberts, by the way, what'd you think about that? Him coming out, what the hell? Him coming out and making a statement last night. By the way, you can't find that statement on any government website or any government location. Okay, it was a public statement, hit and run, and never to be seen again. But Roberts essentially is saying that that judicial authority reigns supreme over Trump.
Yeah.
Get the hell. I mean, what constitution are you reading from?
No, that's the funny part about it. And we knew, we had talked about it. You and I talked about it on the show in January because that report had come out now. And over Biden's administration, they put like 252 federal judges under Biden. It's like almost one of the largest amount of judges swapped out under any administration. And we see now that was their backup play. That was their plan B or C with this, is they knew, okay, well, if Trump gets in, we're just going to hamstring everything, and every judge is going to rule against anything that he does. Doesn't matter if it's unconstitutional what they're doing. They're just going to rule against it, and they're going to drag it into court for so long, it's just going to drag it out and drag it out and drag it out. Because what's going to happen, like I said, what I personally think is going to happen with these judges is as soon as RFK Jr. starts making big moves with the health, basically this giant health movement, and he comes in and starts saying, we need to remove these compounds out of the foods. We need to have safe vaccines. We need to go in and start researching and stopping these grants for these bioweapons. All this stuff that they're looking at doing, I think you're going to have multiple federal judges come and say, whoa, 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 whoa. That's outside your authority. We're ruling you can't do that. We're ruling this. We're ruling that. And they're going to hang it all up. So this is a very frustrating position to be in. We knew these guys weren't going to go down without a fight. But again, at this point in time, it's almost like you said, it's almost like they're setting up for a contempt trap to do enough of these that at some point Trump's going to get so sick of their unconstitutionality, he's going to override one of these things. And they're going to say, oh, impeachment proceedings again, and this whole circus show is going to start all over. And that's definitely a concern of mine right now, Doug, a big concern of mine.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about the direction, the trajectory of the left. You can tell the left is desperate, and yeah, they're losing. And whether it's the media, the crazy media, which the entirety of the left, the ideology behind the left, you know, when somebody... I mean, think about this. Again, this is just one example of so many. But you see posts on X or on different on Blue Sky, for example, is where they all go and commiserate. But somebody posted, "Hey, we traded our Tesla in today for a Hyundai. Feels great. Eat crap." And I'm editing that, Elon. And somebody replied, and just like that, the environment is no longer a priority.
Yep. Yeah. That, isn't it funny it is. Now you've seen that where all of a sudden, you know, Tesla and Elon Musk is down in the crosshairs of what he's doing and starting to cut some of this stuff. And now suddenly the green activists and the little tie-dyed hair faggots that want to run around and tell everybody how they have to drive EV vehicles for the rest of their life for the environment. They're going, we're not buying EVs anymore. We're going to go buy Toyotas because Toyota means something. We're not going to support this communist regime now. And I'm like, dude, you are the communist. What are you talking about? You're literally calling people communist for doing the same for the same thing you're doing. And it's crazy to me. And then now you've got this Biden-appointed judge that came in now, and he's blocking the Pentagon ban on transgender troops.
Yeah,
he blocked the Pentagon from implementing the policy to bar transgender troops from serving the U.S. military. And what's crazy about it, he said it's unconstitutional, which is a complete and total lie. Going into the military, it's made it always very clear the longstanding DOD policy ensures that service members be free of medical conditions or physical defects that may reasonably be expected to require excessive time lost from duty for necessary treatment or hospitalization. You've got to get waivers if you even have a mild medical condition to go into the military. So what they went on to say here, consistent with military mission, the DOD policy, expressing a false gender identity divergent from an individual's sex cannot satisfy the rigorous standards for military service. Beyond the hormonal and surgical medical interventions involved, adoption of a gender identity inconsistent with individual sex conflicts with a soldier's commitment to an honorable, truthful, and disciplined lifestyle, even in one's personal life. There's nothing unconstitutional about that. We've talked about it for years now. Gender dysphoria is a very real medical condition. If you have a severe medical condition, you cannot actively serve. It's not just gender dysphoria, it's all of them. I remember when I applied and got accepted in the OCS program in Quantico to go to the Marine Corps, I had two ankle surgeries that I blew out from motocross. And I had screwed back together and screwed back together and then had all the hardware pulled out. And I remember they went through my medical records. And I had to go to a physician. I had to get signed off on. I had to do more x-rays. I had to do additional PT testing to see if my ankle could handle all of it to even get into the final acceptance program to that. Because they said, we're not going to bring you in to the program and have you blow an ankle out and all of a sudden we're going to have to pay to fix your ankle and put you on leave because you already had a pre-existing condition. It was a giant to-do about it. So why is it then these individuals somehow get this golden pass and they come in and say, I'm a boy, I'm a girl, I need to have my appendages cut off, I need to go on hormone replacement therapy, so I need to go in the military so you can pay for all this. And now this appointed judge from Biden goes, oh, no, you can't stop that. It doesn't matter what their medical condition is, if they have gender dysphoria. Other ones you can pick and choose, but gender dysphoria, you got to let them in. These judges suck, dude. That's it lightly.
This is crazy. But by the way, Eric the Tech, I sent you something. I think it's applicable for what we're talking about. Because back in my day, obviously a reference to my age. But, you know, I remember applying. There you go, folks. I could not have said that better. Okay. That's Jackie Gleason back in my day, blowing a tranny meant having car trouble, essentially. Okay. Not anymore, but I remember. I love that, by the way. I remember applying for New York City Police Department, and I was accepted. Tested. That's when they had the written tests. There was an oral exam, and no jokes. And a psychological exam, and then the physical part, and not in that necessarily in that order. But anyway, I was accepted, except my uncorrected vision was not. I was accepted based on everything else, but my physical, right. I failed my physical because of my uncorrected vision. And even if I got contacts, no. I mean, the standards were extreme. And by the way, there was a height requirement. There was a weight requirement, weight to height. I mean, it was tough. And then I was down in your part of the woods, St. Petersburg and Tampa. I got accepted down there. I figured, hey, you know what? This time I memorized the eye chart. I figured they're all standard. They were. But the bottom line was when they look in your eyes, you know, no, they could tell. So obviously. So now we're attempting to accommodate mentally ill individuals in positions of power. This is crazy. Go ahead, sir.
Well, it's not just the fact of mentally ill. So you got somebody that's certifiably insane and they transgender, they're gender dysphoria. That's bad enough. But you're taking a step further and you're saying, okay, these individuals that are mentally ill, and now they've got to have significant bodily surgery continually throughout their life with a gaping hole and all types of antibiotics they got to be on and hormone blockers and cross-sex hormones for the rest of their life. They need medical intervention in order to stay alive. And the military now has to pay for that. And I remember there was actually a homosexual, I think, airman that went out, and it was his preference, but he said, listen, he goes, I'm military combat ready all the time. My personal lifestyle does not affect anything with this. He goes, these guys that are coming in here, he goes, it's to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars a year that it's costing the military to keep these individuals stable enough. And he goes, they can never be combat deployed because they have to have all their freaking hormones all the time. And they have to be constantly checked in and they have all these health problems on a regular basis because they're doing stuff to their body that was never natural. And they're cutting off appendages and making other parts and all this stuff. He goes, there's nothing sustainable about this. And so again, I don't want to keep going on that topic because it's already weird enough. Yeah, it's obnoxious to me even going into it. But again, this is why this was blocked and this is why it shouldn't be acceptable. And now again, this by pretty much what we've decided this week, we've realized these judges are going to block just about every single thing that Trump's done. They're going to attempt to block everything he's done. I think that's a fact now. We all realize that.
And as a palate cleanser, folks, go to teamhealthmasters.com. Yeah. The link will be in the program description box below. Go to teamhealthmasters.com. And seriously, they've got the best supplements on the planet. I take, right before the show, I had a purple stick and magnesium. I'm going to tell you, magnesium brain food. Yeah, baby. It keeps you sharp. I take all of the initial vitamins, I guess, you know, the B, the C, D3, K2. I take all of that. And I'll tell you something. I really haven't felt better than I do now. Oh, I got the aches and pains here and there. But I'm telling you, this stuff is really gold. Go to teamhealthmasters.com. And also, don't forget to listen to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show on a daily basis. That is like an information download. I'm telling you, you will be better off for it. If there's only one program, or two, counting ours, one program that you would listen to, Ted and Austin Brewer, because the amount of information that they provide in a rapid-fire fashion. And they dig as well. But their understanding of current events, as well as nutrition, will blow your mind. So
that's what we're trying to stay up with everything, Doug. I mean, that's why, I mean, the Purple Sticks are such a popular product. I'm probably going to run one here in a second. But one thing that we've always done in the morning, I put a kit together. I sent it to Eric earlier. It was the Ultimate Morning Energy Kit. That's one of those ones that we've been working on where it's basically, I see this right here, yeah, like Fit Food Protein, which is a whey protein, with a Purple Stick in the morning. You can drink it pre-workout, post-workout, middle of the afternoon. Great, great addition.
I got to ask you, what does that whey protein do? Because, man, I saw that, and is that just for, like, younger people?
No, absolutely not. I mean, first off, we get our whey from New Zealand, so it doesn't have any type of hormones, any type of antibiotics. New Zealand has the strictest bovine laws in the entire world as far as how their cattle are handled. So it's pretty much the premier place to get whey protein. It's expensive to get it from there, but it works great. It's not some Chinese ultra-heat process crap that they scrape off the floor and then pump it full of nitrogen and try to make it have a higher protein count and then sell it to everybody. Everybody wonders why, man, I don't know why I'm so bloated. I feel like crap every time I drink this protein shake. I had a buddy of mine was working out with me the other day, and he bought some stuff offline, and he's like, yeah, every time I take this stuff and I'm working out, I'm super bloated, his guts protruding. He's like, I don't feel good every time I drink it. I was like, maybe you shouldn't drink it, brother. And he's like, yeah, I'm starting to think that. I'm like, the problem is a lot of these products contain so many chemicals in the bodybuilding world, including sucralose, including artificial flavors, not to mention all types of toxins that are involved in stuff with a lot of this food. It has absolutely no business having these preservatives in it. And so again, that's why we're trying to produce the highest quality supplements for additional protein in your diet, because the average person, as far as if you're exercising and training, it's really good to have about a half a gram to a gram of protein per body weight, depending on how active you are and your muscle needs and your growth needs. So say if you're 200 pounds, you need to be eating between 100 to 200 grams of protein every single day. Again, depending on what your needs are, how much you're exercising. And as you get older, your muscle mass continues to wane off if you don't exercise and do stuff with it, including make sure you're getting proper protein in your diet. So that's why we put that shake together, and that's why it makes such a good morning routine. And again, I will also activate the HR5 coupon. Everybody always loves that one. I'll activate it for about a week here for the show just for you, Doug, and let everybody use that coupon on all regular price items at Team Health Masters so they can kind of knock some more prices off. We've got a lot of kits we're putting together, and wow, there's another article.
Folks, take advantage of that, yeah. Please. HR5, let them know you heard it right here. But before you move on, I just want to ask a question about the protein. Will that increase, again, as you said it, you know, as people get older, they lose muscle mass, obviously.
Right.
All right. Now, or if you had hip surgery, or who knows, at times it seems like, you know, your muscles are, I mean, there's atrophy involved here. Will that assist in rebuilding, counteracting that? Okay.
A, it'll help rebuild, and B, it can help preserve. So there's two factors when you're doing something like you just mentioned, like a hip replacement, like a surgery, injury. You can't be very active on that hip. Period, that leg. You've got to let everything rest. You've got everything settle. You got all the hardware settled in there. And so you've got to basically be, you know, on the couch for a while, healing up. One of the biggest factors that people make, the biggest mistake people make when they have an injury, is they don't eat enough protein, and they eat way entirely too many carbohydrates while they're being inactive trying to recover. Because your body's not exerting much energy, you do not require a significant amount of carbohydrates while you're essentially resting and recovering. Your body just doesn't need them for fuel. What your body does need is a significant amount of protein. And so I always tell people, whenever they're having a surgery or ever having an injury, after that, after you listen to your doctors, I'm not giving you medical advice on it, make sure you increase your protein intake and decrease your carbohydrate intake while you're recovering. And the great way to do that is include or add in additional protein shakes. So if you're eating, you know, normally your 3 or 4 eggs, or you're eating some fish, or you're eating some steak or chicken, turkey, whatever it may be, throw in throughout the day a couple protein shakes as well. That'll really increase your nitrogen retention. It'll increase your protein. It'll also help you recover faster, and it'll help you maintain lean muscle tissue, not atrophy as fast. That is crucial, because I've watched people, and I've had the same issue before that fall when I've had surgeries, knee surgery, yeah, ankle surgery. You know, it's depressing, okay? Sitting on the couch, can't walk, on crutches, watching TV for a couple weeks. It sucks. I get it. So what do you want to do? You want that dopamine. I want my ice cream. I want my pizza. I want my pasta. Well, then you just turn into a fat ass laying on the couch for weeks. And you get fatter and fatter. You lose muscle. You gain fat. You get out of shape. Then you finally go back to recover. You feel horrible. So that's one of the biggest things. If you can do it and you have the discipline, make sure you're getting adequate protein. And the Fit Food protein is a great addition to that to really increase your protein uptake while you're covering. Or, obviously, if you're wanting to grow and build more muscle, up your protein, train hard as heck, get big, and continue to stay strong. And that's a great supplement of that as well. So it's twofold in your answer there.
Okay. I have a question from the chat. Not really a question, a comment from the chat. I want to see if you're still doing this. Because I remember, and I can't remember the last time I got an email about the show, your show, Ted and Austin show. Okay. So Into the Sun wrote this. I used to watch Ted and Austin every day. Hey, still watch. I got an email every day to listen to the show. Now I only get an email every few months. Is that deliberate, or is that something going on?
No, it's not deliberate. So we had an issue with our email campaign company that we're working with. They started having a lot of our stuff started getting spam listed. It was, I think, from Django Mail. And we cut that out. We work with another one now. The biggest thing that I recommend everybody doing is go to thebrowershow.com. Right at the top of the screen on thebrowershow.com, there's essentially a sign-up letter. And you can sign up with your name and email. And you can get either the Brower Show reports with the show and emails. There's two options you can pick. So I recommend the Brower Show and the Team Health Masters updates. That'll get you in there. The old email list that we had, it's still active. We still use it. The problem is you got to make sure it's not going to spam, because that was what was going on with the old email campaign. And we had to completely change the company working with a couple months ago. So the best thing is BrowerShow.com. Sign up for updates. Go on there. Put your information in. It's one and done. Once you do it, you'll pretty much get the stuff every single day, because we do send out emails on sales, specials, kits, and show updates every day on the on that site.
Got it. All right. Thank you. Okay.
Yes.
I kind of interrupted you, so continue with whatever thought you were going to.
Well, one thing, another article too that I wanted to address, because I got this question a lot, and so I decided to have Harrison write an article on it. I sent the link to Eric, and it says the best time to take your supplements and maximize absorption of the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit. This is another really good article that breaks down very clearly how to take a lot of supplements, and the best time to say take like the ultimate multiple capsules or powder, when to take the vitamin C, the D3, the omega 3. This isn't a stand all be all. This is the only way to take these products. But what it does is it gives you kind of the most ideal time, why the timing is ideal, foods that can enhance the absorption of those supplements, foods to avoid, key nutrient interactions, and different times you can take stuff to get the maximum effect out of them. So I have this article on the website. I want everybody, if they have any questions on it, to please go look at it under the articles link. And it's called The Absorption of Vitamins, The Best Time to Take Your Supplements, Maximize the Absorption of the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit. Very, very interesting article. And again, it kind of answers those questions. I get a lot of emails. When I start getting a significant amount of emails on a specific topic, I try to write an email newsletter on it or have Hunter Harrison do one. Because at that point, I realize it's a common question, and it's a lot easier to write an article, post it, disseminate it to everybody than it is to answer the same email over and over and over again. So I just want to send everybody there to check that out as well, Doug.
Very good.
And yes,
I'm also looking at something on the chat, too. Somebody cracked a rib. Okay, and I have to say, that's painful.
Yeah, I've done it. It's rough. Hey, don't make me laugh.
I got in a brawl. I mean, I think you cracked my. No, I'm kidding. But
it's rough.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything aside from oxycodone recreationally? Yeah. Aside from, I mean, is there anything to help heal that inflammation, whatever it might be? What do you recommend?
The turmeric force that we have is going to reduce inflammation. As far as actually handling pain from cracked ribs, there's nothing that's really going to fix that. I mean, I've cracked ribs before. That is a horrible, horrible experience. The one thing you can do, though, that it's not going to mitigate the pain, but it's going to increase the ability and the calcium absorption to the bone as the ultimate multiple, along with the Osomag. Those two products together is what I've always taken and stacked when I've broken stuff. And it definitely cuts down on the recovery time, definitely increases the healing, and absolutely helps out with overall, as far as recovery, as quickly as possible. Because, again, at the end of the day, it's a bone. It's a bone. It's got to heal. It's got to grow. So you're giving the body the raw minerals, the raw ingredients, and the Osomag, which is our MCHC calcium. That's our microcrystalline hydroxyconcentrate calcium that comes from bovine, and it works really, really good. I don't recommend calcium normally in men on a regular basis at all because we don't need it. But that product is designed to go specifically to the bones, and it's great for females as far as helping out with osteopenia or osteoporosis, and it's also great for men if you've broken a bone, you've been very reckless in your life like I have in some certain sports and racing and motocross, and it helps to recover from that, for whatever that may be. So that's what I would recommend for the ribs.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Moving right along, continue with whatever's on your radar, whatever you think is important to discuss. You've got a lot of stuff. I know you've gone through a lot of stuff. Go ahead.
Here's one that I really wanted to address because I'm excited about this with HHS, with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I sent the link to Eric as well. It's called Operation Stork Speed, the HHS launch plan for more testing and scrutiny of infant formula ingredients. Now, there's a group of moms, and basically they've gone together, and they did this years ago, and they were studying toxic metals in infant formula. This report came out last year, and they were talking about in detail how essentially these groups and the Moms for America and GMO scientists and moms across America tested samples of 20 formulas made by well-known brands. All baby formulas tested positive for aluminum and lead, and the large percentage of the formulas contain high arsenic, cadmium, and mercury, with 35% of those samples contain all heavy metals tested. 35% of the baby formulas tested positive for all heavy metals on the spectrum. Now you got to think, this isn't, swine fattening feed we're giving to cattle or giving to pigs before we slaughter them. This is infant formula. Infant formula that's heavily contaminated with heavy metals. The reason why this is your favorite country, Doug, the Chinese Communist Party that loves to make unbelievably toxic food. They are one of the primary manufacturers of baby formula on a base level. Because what a lot of people don't realize is a lot of these products, they may be mixed here, they may be compounded in the United States, but an enormous portion of the raws come out of the Chinese Communist Party, China. And they do not have hardly any health regulations on their formulas. That's why they're so contaminated. This is why I try to do my absolute best to not touch a single raw ingredient from China, because they all test positive for heavy metals. Every single time stuff's come in, I'm like, where's it come out of China? I go, oh, I don't even want it. I said, just run an assay on it. Let me know where the raw's coming from. Oh, yeah. Cadmium, mercury, lead. I'm like, throw that crap in the dumpster. Send it back. I'm not giving it to my customers, and I'm sure as heck not taking it either. So, again, this is an interesting study that's going to come out now. Operation Stork Speed was launched yesterday, and they're going to increase testing for heavy metals and contaminants. And on top of that, though, they're also looking at a lot of the ingredients, which I've talked about for years, and I'm so glad somebody actually is starting to discuss this, because this is one thing that Robert F. Kennedy talked about, is that these baby formulas, they're loaded with high fructose corn syrup and corn syrup solids and some of the most toxic ingredients, not just heavy metals, and looking at it saying, are these really ingredients that we need to be giving to our children? And what's interesting here, it talks about this. It says Operation Stork Speed is very encouraging. See this announcement after Consumer Reports shared our findings about contaminants in infant formula. We look forward to seeing the details of how they intend to implement this plan. We hope the FDA provides adequate resources and staffing to actually follow through these promises, because at the end of the day, the level of toxins in this are not even really essentially allowed. Not to mention, they're saying they're containing PFASs, which is the forever chemicals. On top of that, you see the whole stuff with the high fructose corn syrup, which is loaded with glyphosate. These baby formulas, in most cases, are some of the most toxic things on the shelf, and you're giving them to infants. Now, you got to ask yourself a question, Doug.
Yeah.
Possible? Could it just be remotely possible that these manufacturers that are putting these foods together might possibly be in cahoots with big pharma, big agri, and big health to try to go in, as far as health industry, not good health, health industry, to try to make sure they're perpetuating the industrial healthcare complex to make sure children continually go to the hospital, the pediatrician, by saying sicker and sicker and sicker? Would it make sense for infant formula to have all these, not just contaminants, but high fructose corn syrup and preservatives and toxic foods that we know cause health problems? Could it be conspiracy? Or am I just off the reservation again today, though?
Oh, man. I think we're going to have to check with Fauci, who, Dr. Science himself. Well, let's check with him. I think the planned depopulation is just that, and all of this. I mean, look, folks, if people cannot see what has been going on, and I think a lot of people are starting to wake up, people who would not ordinarily pay attention to this, they're starting to wake up, and that's a good thing.
Well, that's the thing that I've really appreciated about RFK Jr. is there's certain compounds, certain formulas, certain things that are out there now that people are actually hearing the terminology be brought up. It says Operation Stork Speed will include a revamp of existing regulations governing the safety of baby food formulas. Here she goes. McIntosh goes, she pointed the current regulations that allow seed oils, industrial additives. They do not set limits on sugar and carbohydrate content and do not require transparency on ingredient sourcing. Right back to China. McIntosh cited the presence of synthetic additives and preservatives, primarily glyphosate, and excessive omega-6 fats, which are highly inflammatory, by the way, and baby formulas, an area of concern. Moms across America also found levels of glyphosate in baby formula samples. Widespread use of soybean oil, corn syrup, and even sucrose, which is table sugar, and baby formula raised concerns about the health benefits of these products. Omega-6 fats, stay away from them. Soybean oil, stay away from them. Corn oil, stay away from them. Period. Living element, no living person needs to eat soybean oil and canola oil. Corn oil, it's not good for you, period. And yet they're putting it in the food that we're literally giving to our infants. And this needs to be addressed. That's why I want to talk about it today. Because, again, the more we talk about this, the more you put those seeds of truth out there for people to hear, for them to be able to get to a point where they can come to their own educated conclusion. Because without the education, without the topics, without the things being brought up, how are people supposed to know, Doug? And that's why the censorship has gotten so aggressive over the last 10 years on this topic. And that's why I'm so glad RFK Jr. is really bringing this stuff to the forefront of mainstream media. And these at least words and topics are getting brought up so people know the truth, Doug. That's a huge thing.
I think if he stays in his lane, I think we're going to be a lot. I mean, we're going to be better off health-wise as Americans.
Yes.
So I have a lot of respect for his knowledge about health. I have a lot of respect for his quest for truth, especially with respect to what happened, especially his book, The Real Dr. Fauci. Okay. And what an incredible read. And a lot of people, I think after that, it was, man, they tried to keep that from coming out, but, After people read that book, it was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this stuff. But I think we're on a positive trajectory with respect to our health right now. But we have to keep, like you said, we have to keep educating the public or keep this in the forefront. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, we have to stop supporting and buying this stuff. I sent a article to Eric. Eric, did you get it on the one on abnormal levels of toxins found in the General Mills loaded cereal? Did you get that one?
I by the way, I know which one you're talking about. Well, he's looking for that.
The reason why I'm bringing it up is because this is the kind of stuff.
Can you resend that? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let me send it real quick. I want you to see this thing. This article is really, really big deal. Because what we're starting to see now is the education is starting to come out there and people are starting to realize what's going on. And one of the main reasons why I've been telling people so long that you've got to start reading ingredient lists and you got to start looking at stuff and really analyzing whether or not you want to support it. That goes secondly to my fact of if we stop supporting these companies that are producing the swill for us to eat, like Kellogg's and other stuff, we start forcing and changing their behavior back. They've been forcing our behavior and feeding us this trash for decades now, and people buy it. That's the crazy part. We're buying the very thing and paying for the very thing that's killing us as a society when it comes to food. And when we stop doing that, it's going to change the entire trajectory of what's happening right now. Because this article talks about this General Mills loaded cereal tricks, and it's these like pockets of cereal with this cream filling. I don't even know why you don't want to put this stuff in your body. And it's not only is it loaded with high fructose corn syrup, red 40, I mean, all this stuff, they're now finding that it's unbelievably contaminated, again, with heavy metals and agrochemicals, including atrazine, including glyphosate, all these different pesticides on a broad spectrum, fungicide, endocrine disrupting hormones, all this stuff. And so, again, it's another reason why don't put this stuff in your body. It even said in this cereal, the heavy metals exceeded the EPA's allowable levels of aluminum, cadmium, lead, and arsenic. Yet it was on the shelf for a significant period of time and exceeded the EPA's allowable levels in drinking water. The drinking water can't even have this much toxins in it. And they have this stuff in cereal that, again, we're feeding to what category? The children. This food is directly geared towards the kids.
You know, I don't know whether you heard this. The Celsius drinking water, or Celsius water.
Yes, just get the aluminum cans.
Right. There's a chemical in there that reportedly, and again, I did not research this. I just happened to see it. In fact, there's a short video on this where this chemical, and I'm not even sure what it's used for in this water, but it comes from human sewage.
I didn't see that yet. No.
Oh, man. Look, I can't verify this, but if that's true.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. Yes. So it has cyanide, cobalamin, B12 in it.
Something like that.
Cyanide, cobalamin, B12 is a toxic form of B12. Don't ever take it. It's not a good B12. It needs to be methylated. The reason why in our ultimate multiple, and our B12 or multiple powder B complex, we always use methylcobalamin. You can look it up on the label. Methylcobalamin is the methylated B vitamin. All B vitamins need to be methylated if they're going to go in your body. These synthetic formulas they take, they get them from various different sources. Some of them allegedly can be derived from basically recycled sewage waste treatment plants. But a lot of this stuff is not really, they're not getting like human feces and extracting B12 out of it. That was a bit of an exaggeration they did in this article, but a lot of times they do have water source plants, treatment plants. We'll find like Dasani, probably one of the most disgusting tasting bottled waters on the planet. It's basically sewage water that they reprocess. That's why if you look at the bottle, that's where it's comes from. If it doesn't say like the specific springs, and it says, like, reconstituted waste management water. You're drinking everybody's piss is what you're drinking. It's been, like, triple, quadruple filtered and reprocessed.
That's a pleasant thought.
You know, so next time you drink a bottle of Sani, just think about the last million people took a piss in the toilet. They recycled it and fed it back to you like you're goyim, like you're an animal. So, yeah, just stay away from that stuff. I don't like bottled water in general.
If you
do, try to go to the high-quality brand that's not recycled waste management water. I'm sorry for that analogy. That was kind of rough. I'm a bit crude sometimes. I apologize. I thought about it after I said that.
Well, I think
stocks are going to drop tomorrow.
the CEO of Dasani's on line 140 now.
Is Coca-Cola bottled Dasani?
I don't know.
I don't really care. I'm sure they're owned by BlackRock, so I'm not really surprised. Well, nothing much would change me on it. But, one last article here that I did want to cover because I got a lot of people asking about this. You know, the last couple of weeks we saw this massive fear news about the measles in Texas.
Yes.
And Everybody needs to get the MMR shot. They're pushing the MMR shot. The six-year-old sweet little girl died from the measles. Allegedly, that was the story in the news. And I told you when I did it, I said, I don't want to, you know, speak ill of what's going on. I said, but why is it that nobody can get any information on what happened on this little girl? I mean, sweet little six-year-old girl dies from the measles. It's a pretty big deal. It's been a long time since a child died from the measles. And they were saying they didn't give out any pre-existing conditions, any issues. Well, the mother of the daughter did a full-blown interview now out in Texas and basically gave the records up to her child that died. And the family six-year-old girl said that essentially what happened was it was medical malpractice. They prescribed an inappropriate antibiotic for her, that she had a second-stage bacterial pneumonia that wasn't even related to the measles, that the measles was already clearing up on itself. They gave her multiple wrong antibiotics. This is a really, really bad situation. And then essentially when they couldn't figure out what to do, they didn't change the course of treatment for over 2 days. They didn't adjust the girl's antibiotics till the test came back and showed she had bacterial pneumonia called mycoplasma pneumonia. Then they essentially put her on a ventilator. And she died on a ventilator. Wasn't even related to measles.
Oh,
related to bacterial pneumonia from wrong antibiotics that they gave her. And I wouldn't know what to do. I mean, I got a 7-year-old daughter. And I mean, if that's something like that happened in the hospital, I wouldn't wish my hell that I'd descend on anybody after that, especially when you know that the hospital's actually the one that killed the little girl and that basically they completely acted out of scope of practice and gave her the wrong compounds and then put her on a ventilator, and that little girl died on that. And so, again, that's a rough topic to talk about, especially involves kids, but I wanted to bring this topic up because at the end of the day, this wasn't a measles death. This is a girl that was recovering from measles that got bacterial pneumonia. The hospital essentially killed her with the wrong antibiotics on a ventilator. And so, again, this is why it's so important to really do your own research and make your own decision, not based on emotion, but based on facts, what's going on. So, again, my condolences to the family. If you guys hear the show, I really am sorry this happened to you guys. And I just hope other people can see this and go, man, you know, and try to learn something positive out of it, because it's a horrible situation. And
but medical, obviously the media out there, whatever curiosity they might have, it's lacking, obviously.
It is. Well, that's what pisses me off. They were so quick to get on the news talking about, we had a measles death. We need to cover this right now. Now that the mom's come out, it's freaking silent. They're not telling her story. They're not putting that on mainstream media. They're too busy telling everybody it was a measles death across the country. Go get your stinking MMR shot. That now, we're not going to cover that now. We're just going to pretend like this didn't happen, sweep under the rug. The mainstream media is so bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industrial complex, it's nauseating to me. And at the end of the day, people have to start talking about what's happening, and the truth has to be heard. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this topic up, even though I did not want to talk about it. It had to be brought up. And so,
man, that's so sad.
It is sad. It really is.
That's it's sad. And it certainly angers me that that we as a public, as a general public, are being treated this way and have been treated this way. And next hour, I'm going to be talking about the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act and how that plays a role into everything that we're hearing and seeing today. But anyway, Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. That's teamhealthmasters.com. Use promo code HR5. I'm telling you, folks, this is a great deal for 5% off the majority of products. There are some exceptions, but HR5. And get your supplements now, because we need these. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, we do. And, you know, I do this a lot of times on the show on and off. It depends how popular a product it is. I know the ultimate multiple. This is what I tell everybody, you know, when they support our show and they support your show, they're fighting for the truth and they're getting stuff out there. The ultimate multiple capsules is probably one of the most staple products that we have. Yeah. And it's like 15% off right now for product of the week. The HR5, it will be applicable to that product.
Wow.
I normally don't stack coupons and stock discounts because it just eats my margins up and I'm dang near lose money on shipments. But this product is a number one staple product. I tell everybody, if you're going to take one thing, take the Ultimate Multiple, whether it's the chewable, the capsules, or the powder, take one. The capsules being probably the most popular, but I'll have that on sale with the HR5 coupon so you guys can stay strong and healthy and actually track. Some of you, $29 on sale. 5% off is going to be even more. I mean, I can't make something this good and this strong with methylated B vitamins and everything else in here any better price. And there's nothing on the market that beats it for that value. So be sure to try it out. If you've been wanting to try something, take a bottle of it and give me a review. If you like it, say yay. If you don't like it, let me know as well. Give me a call, but give me an honest review. That's all I ask. Give me an honest response and call me and let me know what you guys think about it, because I want everybody to stay safe and healthy, Doug.
I really, over my life, I've taken a lot of all-purpose vitamins. I don't even know what you call those, okay? Your daily supplement. I've taken a lot, different brands, different types, and I can say that that's a life-changing product, I believe, because, and I'm not trying to overstate something, but when you feel like crap, okay, the quality of life it ain't too good. So
no.
When you feel good and you start building your body back up to where it should be, that, I believe, the ultimate multiple is perhaps the one product that you have. I know Eric the Tech, if I get near his ultimate multiple, he takes it in powder form. Okay.
I'll lose out.
I'm telling you what, I can't
stay
get
away
near
from my red drink.
I'm telling you. it's kind of like me and buttons. I can't get near buttons. I can't get near his ultimate multiple. But folks, seriously, that stuff is really great. So take advantage of that. And if he's stacking that 5%, okay, do it now, because you're not going to find any lower price. I can't believe you're doing that, but thank you for doing that. HR5 again, folks. And the website is Team Health Masters. All right, we only have a couple of minutes left. So you tell me your closing thoughts about anything, everything, whatever you want. You tell me.
Well, I mean, we're seeing I think we're actually watching, if we can keep the momentum up, I think we're watching a massive culture change in the United States here. Watching the roaches, you know, scramble for the refrigerators when the lights are getting flipped on. Being these judges, they're trying to do the best they can to maintain, because I, you know, and it would not be surprising to me that a lot of these judges are getting paid on the back end from a lot of stuff, you know, with backdoor deals and bribes, with, you know, use in these other agencies. When you start funneling tens of billions of dollars and hundreds of billions of dollars, you don't have to skim off that much to keep people that are compromised happy. I mean, you know, 1% of $100 billion, $1 billion, 1/10 of that percent is 10 million. You're talking about a substantial amount of money that'll change people's lives if they approve stuff and push through it with only a small, small percentage of these funds. And so I think we're watching this happen now, but at the same time.
By the way, Laura Loomer has done an incredible job outing these judges. Every single one, it seems like, is attached to some form of, and again, I'm using these words, essentially kickback.
Yes.
You know, man, folks, follow Laura Loomer. She's a friend of the show, a friend of mine, and follow her investigative reports. A lot of people copy them, but she's the original. And I'll tell you something, she's a great investigative journalist. So, but yes, you're absolutely correct.
No, so. It is. And she's calling it out. I guarantee you, if I was going to put cash on, I can guarantee you every single one of these judges, if you trace back all their accounts, their access, their activity, their offshores, guarantee you, you'll find cash from undisclosed accounts that are being transferred to them to keep this stuff going. So keep up the fight with everything, man. Keep telling everybody, keep pushing forward, keep getting the truth out there. Keep your body and your mind strong. Your body continually has to stay active and updated and healthy. If you keep your body healthy, there's a whole lot of stuff you can accomplish. Your goals, you hit better, your motivation's better, your mind's clear, you have more energy, and you actually have the ability to help other people get the same way. The stronger, healthier, more aggressive, and smarter we are, the harder we are to control. They know this. That's why they pump us full of crap all the time, if we allow them to keep us dumbed down, stupid, and servile. Don't be dumb, stupid, and servile. Be strong, healthy, and wise, my friends, and keep pushing every single day, which you know to be true. That's my
statement. Amen, brother. Folks, let's hear it. Give it up for Austin Brower, Team Health Masters. That's teamhealthmasters.com. But by the way, it's really, what, 2 weeks away, where Ted's going to be in Wisconsin at the Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference. Okay, speaking there, folks, if you if you intend on going, make sure you get your tickets really soon. It's filling up fast. And you can get to meet Ted face-to-face and have a chat with him. But look at this lineup. The pastor, the Canadian pastor.
he got a 9:30 a.m. slot. So he's going to be wide open. I already know what his stack is going to be with Purple Sticks and Attention Factor and Fit Food in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. So, yes.
Yeah, just be ready for him when you guys do that, because he's going to be, I know the flights were crazy, so I think he's got to fly out that afternoon on Saturday. He had a difficult time getting connecting flights up there because it's a bit of a rural area. But yeah, it'll be a good time up there.
Yeah, it's kind of challenging to get there by plane, as was Bozeman. I think I had from where I was at going to Bozeman by plane. I think I had like three or four stops on the way.
Yeah,
you know, none of them made sense, but okay. But at any rate, Austin, thank you so much for joining me this hour. I appreciate everything you do, and we'll be talking again soon. God bless you, my friend.
It's been great to be on the show. You guys have a fantastic night. Thanks for the support. And you guys hammer the next hour, man. I appreciate you guys.
All right. All right, folks. Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. Don't forget to take advantage of the HR5 coupon code from with Health Masters. That's a great deal. All right. A lot of stuff to round this out. And I want to push a lot of things through the funnel. I'm going to tell you right now, I have, based on the research investigation I've done, some of the people I've spoken with, some of the books I've long read, read in the past. I mean, I think this is from 2014. This is Roger Stone's book. And I should add, he's being proved correct by some of the things I've seen, but The Man Who Killed Kennedy, great book. I think 2014, maybe. We're going to do a special segment program, an entire program on those files and why it's important. Because a lot of people are saying, well, you know what? It was 60 some years ago. Why? Who cares? Everyone's dead. Everyone associated with this is dead. Or most people are. Well, it's important because of the things of the coup at the time, but also the methods, which, remember, the methods were at issue with the taking away the redactions. That was important. All right. So now that this is coming to light, and some people, I think you're going to find some people really being called out in the material or remaining material. Now, you can, all day long, you can have AI say, well, you know what? In summary, there's really nothing new here. Look, if I don't trust any of that. New compared to what? New compared to the information that you and I know, or new compared to what's out there just laying somewhere in a dark corner? I don't know. But we're going to be going in detail with what has been released and why it's important and how it connects to what's going on today. Because I do believe the same infrastructure that took down, that struck Kennedy down, is still in play. And, you know, look, I'm not too sure. I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here. We're matching up some information that we personally developed, but have not disclosed about Butler, and seeing some similarities, more than similarities, I suppose, to the JFK assassination. Different time, different location, but the same template. I've heard people talk about this on the news shows, whether it's The Blaze with Glenn Beck and Stu and whoever else. I've heard people talk about this. And my thought is, if they only knew... folks, what I really believe that we're going to find certain elements that are going to make Butler make sense in terms of what happened that day. And again, that's based in part on the latest release. And I suspect coming releases, especially of the FBI documents that are embedded within this. Now, no BS, no overstating or understating, just plain factual, just giving it to you like it is. Based on facts that we can back up. We might do that Friday. There's a lot of information that might be done on Friday for Friday's show because it's so important to lay it out, methodically lay it out, to cite the sources to the extent we can. That might be Friday. But again, there's a whole lot of information. In order for me to be able to distill it down and to tell you why and to tell you how we came upon this information or developed this information, it's very important. And you know, the people that we have working on this and that I'm working on this, they're good at what they do. Eric the Tech is good at what he does. Shatter Ops, that team is exceptionally, exceptionally good. Save Them, exceptionally good. And some counsel from outside of the circle of investigators, phew, man, incredible. But you know, the takedown of the attempted takedown of President Trump right now, it's more than that. It's the attempted takedown of everything good that America stands for. It's the attempted takedown of our lifestyle, of everything that everything made in God's image, or everything that is good from God. This is an assault, all-out assault. It's an assault on Christians. It's a murderous assault on Christians. It's a murderous assault on our Western civilization by people who are just evil to the core. Look, I know that you might not necessarily like President Trump. For what you might have your own reasons. That's fine. I happen to think he's exceptionally well-meaning, and I like him. That's my personal opinion. But really, I don't have to like him. You don't have to like him. The question is, what does he stand for? What is he doing to advance and to raise us as a nation, and more importantly, our culture and we as a people? What's he doing to that end? We're watching very closely. And as closely as we're watching there, and perhaps this platform more than any other platform, and I say that with humility. Believe me. We are attempting to find out the people, the evil people behind the plots, the plans, the schemes that exist. Oh, it's easy to say, well, it's Soros or it's Reid Hoffman or it's whoever, Hillary Clinton. It's easy. I mean, that's low-hanging fruit. And yes, I understand the spiritual nature of the battle in which we face. So we have to factor that in too. But what we're seeing with President Trump, and let's just take really the last 65, since 1963, all right, to the present. Out of that swath of time, in fact, let's go back even further. Post-World War II, at the end of World War II to the present. I mean, 80 years now. Let's just look from 2015 onward. It's a digestible chunk of time that we can look at. The target has always been Donald Trump. Through lawfare, through gunfire, through things that you and me, we don't know about. So why? Who and what? I guess we know the why. But the who and the what cannot be casually dismissed or casually thrown in. We have to, I think, be very accurate and very sincere and bring the receipts and say, okay, this is a bad guy who has engaged in criminal activity, or a bad woman or whatever, and isolate that and do so by have people understand. Because, well, that's just part of the process. For example, if I have a client for a case, a complex, we'll say a fraud case, it's one thing to say that person right there is your problem. But it's a whole different situation to say that person right there has done this and this and this and this, and here is how we did it. Here are the co-conspirators, if there are any. And then back that up with proof. I'm just saying. We know that Hillary, Diane Rodham, the Yak Clinton, was directly involved with Christopher Steele. For example, in the Russia hoax. Oh, Marsha. We know that as a fact, as a matter of fact. I mean, it's been proven, whether you read Spygate by Bongino or, I mean, pick a book. You know that one of the people involved was British MI5 spy Christopher Steele. You know that, right? I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever of his involvement. Okay, the reason I bring him up right now, I don't know how many people saw this. This was one of the, in my view, an epic takedown of Christopher Steele. This by Natalie Winters. God bless her. God bless her. I'm telling you, Natalie Winters, again, you don't have to like her. But man, I'll tell you something. She dealt a dose of reality on Piers Morgan directly to Christopher Steele. He was a stump. But I'm going to tell you, he might have been 5'9", but by the time she got done with him, he was about 3 foot. You gotta watch this. Folks in the chat, did you see this? I'm telling you, this is one of the best takedowns of Christopher Steele. And this, to me, this also, there's a message here. The message is this: we are not going to take this anymore. The people now are speaking out, and we are fighting. We're taking evil head on right now. We're taking the evil people head on right now. So I applaud Natalie Winters, and I urge you to watch this carefully. Listen to this carefully if you're listening to this on podcast. Unbelievable. This is cut one in the show notes. Again, go to HagmanPI.com, bookmark that website, but just click on the title, and it'll give you every link I use and every link we've used. So, all right, here it is, cut one.
Well, I know Christopher Steele probably wanted to go down in history as someone that colluded with the Clinton campaign to take down President Donald J. Trump, but I really think that you represent probably the ultimate grifter in the American political space. For you to even come on here, obviously you're trying to sabotage what President Trump is doing when it comes to Russia and Ukraine, but to sit here, what is it, nearly a decade after you tried to smear President Trump as a Russian asset, to then say, well, I think he's a Russian asset, but even though I'm really good at my job and create all these intelligence reports, it's just sort of a feeling that I have. I'm sorry, what stones do you even have left to turn over to try to corroborate your claim that President Trump is a Russian asset? You what? Weaponized FISA courts, surveillance, warrants, not just domestic spy agencies, international spy agencies too, the entire DNC apparatus, a bunch of political operatives and registered foreign agents here in the United States. The American people would really appreciate it if you would stop injecting your efforts to curtail and totally tank the America First movement by smearing anyone who doesn't want to get involved in forever wars or continue the needless and ceaseless dying of Ukraine and in Russia, just so you can sit there from your nice perch and just continue to defend the globalist world order by continuing to fan the flames of conflict in Russia and Ukraine. And you know what? The same people that you ally yourself with here in the United States, you think you're so good at gathering intelligence? Last time I checked, it was the 51 Intel agency officers, spies, who said that the Hunter Biden hard drive, which I've reported on firsthand, it's legitimate. You want to talk about president's sons who are involved in businesses with foreign countries? Well, I'd like to introduce you to Hunter Biden, right? When those 51 people that I'm sure that you know all too well, you were probably likely involved with the drafting of that letter, said that that was Russian disinformation. Well, it turned out that that was true, and shame on you for the last decade trying to inject the idea that smearing President Trump as a Russian agent or a Russian asset is somehow going to tank the MAGA movement. It's about putting America first, and the fact that you can still sit here and you have no actual evidence beside one random Russian meeting, and oh, we need to just continue to get more evidence. You're a complete political hack and grifter, and I wish the American political scene didn't have your voice in it.
All right, well, Christopher Steele, you're about to leave us because you're only here for this part of the panel, but your response finally to that?
My response is that I'm a professional intelligence officer, an expert on that part of the world. I'm not a politician.
Was the Hunter Biden hard drive Russian disinformation then, if you're such an expert?
Let him finish. So I've been a loyal and close ally of the United States for probably most of the last 40 years. I've worked extremely closely with officials working for administrations, both Republican and Democrat. I have a very strong US client base for which I've worked and produced information over many years, none of whom have ever made any such allegation against me. And it's palpable nonsense to claim that I'm in hock with politicians.
I'm so glad the Clinton campaign didn't say that about you.
Well, I never worked for the Clinton campaign. I never had any contact with the Clinton campaign. That's the reality of it.
Oh, you're a subcontractor.
I think Fusion GPS invented different.
I produced a report for a partner firm in Washington, and the results of that report made me, as an ally of the United States, as I would have expected an American counterpart to do, to report back in what I found to the contacts I had in the FBI at the time.
Okay.
That was the right do, and I'm proud
sure.
of it.
Well, all
right,
we're going to leave it there.
No, I think everyone's
expert.
Had their say about
Christopher
Steele.
I'd love his expert opinion.
Right, let's leave it there. I want to move on to other subjects. Christopher Steele, thank
I
you for joining
you
us.
Do.
I appreciate it.
I bet you want to move on, and that, to me, that was one of the best takedowns I've ever seen. I'm telling you right now. And he can parse words all he wants. Indeed, he might not have been directly involved in contact with the Clinton campaign, but he certainly was involved in the Clinton orbit and the different the tentacles of the Clinton criminal machinery. And that didn't stop there. Of course, the intelligence agents, the Five Eyes, but when you bring it to the domestic, the CIA and the FBI together, this, what happened there, what that man had done, folks, he deserved every word of that and more. He should have stayed. Because I suspect part two of that takedown would have been even bloodier in terms of the match. Natalie Winters is someone to watch. Okay, I thought that was fantastic. There are a few other things I want to get through because again we're fighting evil. We're doing it. You and I. I mean, relatively speaking, okay, we all kind of have small voices, relatively speaking, right? That it's not like all of us, this platform, is at the level of InfoWars, Abandon, you know, all of that. No, we're not. But we don't have to be. All we have to be is effective. And when I see other people right now fighting for the culture and the values that we once embraced, I just have to call it. I mean, just like Natalie Winters, I have to say that. How great is that? So quickly, Stephen Miller, this was at a press conference, went against Jim Acosta, or Jim Acosta attempted to, well, you have to hear this to believe it. In this press conference, understand what the role of the media, and not the entirety of the media, but in my experience, and I have recently experienced this, okay? Without getting into detail, I'm telling you, there are some people in the media that have, and obviously, look, you guys know this, but they have an agenda that is propelled by the evil cabal, these criminals, but they're not ordinary criminals. These people are not ordinary criminals. They worship at the altar of evil. I'm telling you, it's bigger than we can comprehend. Than most people can comprehend, in my view. But it's also a reasoned, researched view. Not the view. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to show you this. This is cut three. This is Stephen Miller and Jim Acosta. And another epic takedown. Hit it, Eric.
Well, they could learn, you know, they have to learn English before they get to the United States. Are we just going to bring in people from Great Britain and Australia?
Pause it. In fact, you can go right to the beginning on this. The issue was about making English the official language of the U.S. And Acosta was just, he was verklempt, right? About the fact that, hey, what are we going to do? Did you hear what he asked? Are we just going to bring in people from Great Britain and Australia into the U.S.? And think about that statement for a second. Think about that. How many millions of people is he insulting by that question? And he may say, well, it's really no big deal. You know what he meant. No. You know, in situations like this, it's the subconscious mind that directs the thoughts that make it into the words. And the body language is reflected in the facial tics and the movements. And so what Acosta was doing It was an outright lie, number one. And number two, an outright insult to many people who know English but live in other countries that have made it here illegally or legally. But think about the lack of intellect that represents. And that is the media. This is why the media, the so-called mainstream media, is dead. It's Acosta and people like him. But think about that question and then listen to the response, because Stephen Miller really, really he drives that point home. Here's the whole thing uninterrupted by me. And again, epic takedown. Thank you, Eric. Go ahead and play it.
Well, they could learn, you know, they have to learn English before they get to the United States. Are we just going to bring in people from Great Britain and Australia?
Joe, I have to honestly say, I am shocked at your statement that you think that only people from Great Britain and Australia would know English. It reveals your cosmopolitan bias to a shocking degree that in your mind, this is an amazing moment. That you think only people from Great Britain or Australia would speak English is so insulting to millions of hardworking immigrants who do speak English from all over the world. Jim, have you honestly never met an immigrant from another country who speaks English outside of Great Britain and Australia? Is that your personal experience?
Of course there are people who come in.
But that's not what you said. And it shows your cosmopolitan bias. And I just want to say,
you're trying to engineer the racial and ethnic flow of people into this country.
Jim, that is one of the most outrageous, insulting, ignorant, and foolish things you've ever said. And for you, that's still a really... The notion that you think that this is a racist bill is so wrong and so insulting. Jim, the reality is that the foreign-born population into our country has quadrupled since 1970. That's a fact. It's been mostly driven by green card policy. Now, this bill allows for immediate nuclear family members to come into the country, much as they would today, and then it adds an additional points-based system. The people who've been hurt the most,
the people who've been hurt the most
by the policy you're advocating,
what policy am I advocating?
Apparently just unfettered, uncontrolled migration. The people have been hurt the most by the policy.
The people have been hurt the most by the policy you're advocating
are immigrant workers and minority workers and African American workers and Hispanic workers.
Are you targeting the African American community? Now you brought it up again. You said you wanted to have a conversation and not target. Is it going to be a target?
This is what we want to do.
Oh, shut up.
Community, are you going to target? I'm not trying to be funny.
What you're saying is 100% correct. We want to help unemployed African Americans in this country and unemployed workers of all backgrounds get jobs. And insinuations like Jim made, trying to ascribe nefarious motives to a compassionate immigration measure designed to help newcomers and current arrivals alike, is wrong. And this is a positive, optimistic proposal that says 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, we want to have an immigration system that takes care of the people who are coming here and the people who are already living here by having standards, by having a real clear requirement that you be able to support yourself financially, by making sure that employers can pay a living wage. That's the right policy for our country, and it's the president's commitment to taking care of American workers. I apologize, Jim, if things got heated, but you did make some pretty rough insinuations. So,
Thank you. All right.
Sure.
Now, the reason I wanted this, and thank you, keep that right there. Look at that room. Okay, now, again, I've been in there. You know, look, it's small. People are stacked upon one another in the summertime. It stinks. Well, that's when I was there. So it smells. It's no fun being in there. Okay, in my view, it's no fun. It's a privilege, but you see these people? Do you see how this agenda to bring back our culture, to bring back everything that we valued as a people, those people, for the most part, are against it. They're actively fighting against it. Folks, understand what's going on. And to that end, and to wrap up really, really this hour, because somebody in the chat, and I apologize, I don't recall who it was, said someday talk about the Smith Modernization Act. And I think I recall saying, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. Mike Benz. I don't know how many people saw this out there. Mike Benz spent about four and a half minutes roughly, talking about the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act and what it's doing. What you saw there, I believe personally, again, professionally, maybe I should say, because this is based on research, investigation, a lot of research on this. The people behind this, Barack Hussein Obama, who we don't even know who that guy is. Remember, we cannot afford to forget any of this. We don't know who Barack Hussein Obama is. People will say, well, yes, we do, and we can trace him. I'm talking about the legend. And that's an intelligence term. I'm using that as an intelligence, the legend of Barack Hussein Obama. Because in this last, well, since the turn of the century, I don't think anyone has had more of a negative impact on our nation than that man. Oh, look, you can point to others. I get that. But in terms of him being in power for two terms, recognized, and of course, being that little voice in Biden's ear and answering to his, in my view, his spiritual father, Satan, this demonic entity. No one has left a bigger cut on our values, our Christian values, than that man. To that end, listen to Mike Benz. Again, long format. I want the entire clip. It's 4.5 minutes played. Listen to him explain to Joe Rogan about what Barack Obama really did by repealing or modifying the Smith-Mundt Act. He'll explain it, and then think about it. Tonight, think about it. Here's cut four.
Are you familiar with the Smith-Mundt Act?
Is that the 2011-2012 thing where Obama allowed people to use propaganda against United States citizens?
Yeah, that was what was done then under Obama was the effective repeal of it. It was called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. But the modernization got rid of the whole purpose of it, the firewall, because at the time the media and media control was seen as the linchpin crux of winning the Cold War, piping in pro-U.S. Media influence because everything moved after World War II from kinetic warfare and military occupation. You know, we used to militarily occupy the Philippines, for example, after we won the Spanish-American War. But that was banned under international law, territorial acquisition by military force in 1948. So we had to win elections, and we had to influence the passage of laws in foreign countries by having an apparatus inside those countries that influenced the hearts and minds of people, which influenced who they voted for, which then determined the government. So you had to move towards political vassalage rather than military occupation. And what the Smith-Mundt Act did is, simultaneous with the creation of this in 1948, Congress recognized the Frankensteinian monster they were creating by authorizing a covert, permanent Department of Dirty Tricks, and this is their phrase, not mine, to do this cloak and dagger, to to infiltrate and co-opt the universities, the unions, the media, the politicians, the judges, the whole swarm army, you know, what I have been calling for a long time the USA Truman Show, because it's, you know, these people in these foreign countries have no idea, you know, how many of the things they interact with that are effectively a movie set being constructed by the U.S. State Department and its sister influence orgs. But the point that I'm getting at here is the Smith-Mundt Act in 1948 said, okay, you guys can do this. State Department can do this. CIA can do this. USAID, when it came along 13 years later, could do this. But we... So there was a guy named Frank Wisner who was known as one of the godfather figures of the CIA. He's known for creating what was called the Wisner's Wurlitzer, which was it's like a church organ, and that he would brag that he could play the international media like a symphony to make any media narrative go viral in any country on earth because of the suite of CIA proprietary media functions and its distribution network, especially when the U.S. had first mover advantage in radio and print. It's basically the U.S. and U.K. were the only games in town, really, in having robust radio, film, TV, and print media. So the Smith-Mundt said, okay, you can do that abroad. You can plant fake news stories in France. You can have propaganda blare into Africa or Western Europe or Central Asia, but that can't come home. You can't psyop our own people with your propaganda organ abroad, because the whole point of authorizing this is that we get cheaper gas, we get import-export markets, you know, we get a high standard of living, because if a foreign government doesn't want to give up its resources or allow a U.S. military base or allow joint partnerships or exports of goods or U.S. multinational corporations to operate there, then the American people suffer economically. So it was always designed to say, listen, you can do this dirty stuff abroad, but it can't come home. We have and even that protection, which lasted for 70 years, and we only lost it a decade ago, we're up against a much actually deeper, darker problem with this USAID scandal, and as people will see increasingly, the scandals that will break open at the Pentagon and the State Department, which is that we have a Smith-Mundt problem for funding and operations. It's not just propaganda. The blob, our foreign policy establishment, can fund groups that effectively work with prosecutors domestically, or that work at media, you know, dual use. We give them foreign grants to do media propaganda abroad, but they operate here. Or social media censorship to coerce foreign countries to pass foreign censorship laws that explicitly and are intended to attack U.S. social media companies and in U.S. peer-to-peer speech. So we need that protection. If we're going to keep this function at all, we need a hard firewall and absolute grotesque penalties for any violation.
Okay. I think he laid a great foundation for what is happening today within that group of representatives of mainstream legacy media, within the internet censorship, internet control. There's something called perception control. Now, with respect to the Smith-Mundt Act, just briefly, the U.S. Information and Educational Exchange Act of 1948. It's called the Smith-Mundt Act for short. It was introduced, obviously, by Congressman Carl Mundt in January of 1945 in the 79th Congress. It was passed the following year, and it was signed by President Truman on January 27, 1948. That's the factual aspect of this. And it was developed to regulate the broadcasting of programs and even print material for foreign audience produced under the guidance of guess who? The State Department. In other words, every time you hear State Department, think CIA. It'll make it easier for you in terms of understanding. Now, it supposedly prohibited domestic dissemination of materials produced by the programs, the propaganda. You can't do it in the U.S., of course. Now, that act in 2012 was replaced or amended by the Smith Modernization Act of 2012 under Barry Sotaro, Barack Hussein Obama, the guy we really don't know who much about. And he allowed propaganda produced by the State Department and the Broadcasting Board of Governors to be made available within the United States. In other words, it's okay. So everything we heard, every bit of propaganda that we have heard in this country is legitimized, but not really, but codified by this amendment. Again, the Smith Modernization Act. Now, that act was introduced by Mac Thornberry on May 10th of 2012 in the U.S. House. U.S. Congressman Adam Smith was a co-sponsor. And you can look all this up. It's all online. And the bill's purpose, and you have to wonder about this, the bill's purpose is to authorize the domestic dissemination of information and material about the United States intended primarily for foreign audiences, but that's okay to use it on the U.S. public. It was added to the NDAA in 2013. It's passed by Congress. Made part of the 2013 NDAA. The illogical reasoning behind this, according to one of the sponsors and U.S. Congressman Adam Smith, stated that, well, Al-Qaeda is present here in the U.S., so it's okay. It's okay for us to lie to the American public. I mean, it's okay for us to lie, them to lie to the terrorists, the domestic terrorists. You know the old saying, one man's terrorist, another man's freedom fighter, right? Maybe it depends on which side you're on, right? It seems to be the case. You can read about the factual notions of the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. Frankly, it's not going to change. The propaganda that is being spread and has been spread, whether it's the JFK files or the assessment or the impact of that, or whether it's 9/11 or whether it's Oklahoma City, I know that predates the Modernization Act, but it really, they just codified it as opposed to doing it without the legal backbone. All right, the legal infrastructure. But propaganda is being spread by the government, elements within the government, even today, maybe I should say especially today, because they're doubling down. By the various factions of the, I mean, you've got three branches of government, all three are, there's individuals that are taking advantage of this and are spreading propaganda to the American people. We saw this during the COVID pandemic. I mean, nowhere, I don't think anywhere was it more prevalent and obvious that the government was lying to us, that the media, they were lying to us. And it was all rationalized because, hey, we can do it. It's legal. It's within our purview to do so. The domestic ramifications from this are severe. When you look at this, what we're talking about is attitude modification and coercive persuasion. I want you to think about those two terms, attitude modification and coercive persuasion. The effects now of coercive persuasion change both a person's internal attitude toward the actions encountered, whatever they might be, and the external effect of that effort. I'm not sure if you're tracking or not, but think about that. Modern coercive persuasion methods contain a workable technology for affecting or impacting the victim's willing cooperation, sincerity, compliance, which is so passionate, so zealous, and convincing that it expresses itself as voluntary and willing change versus factually coerced change. So it's based on an irrational emotion, if you will, but that's based on propaganda. And I would argue that Obama knew this because he was schooled. He was a product of this very environment. I'm not even sure he knows who he is. Coercive persuasion is different than simple persuasion. Because by definition, coercive persuasion embodies a toxic intent, really a demonic intent, and a careful methodology in the application of the techniques. Enticing someone to buy a set of encyclopedias, for example, is a whole lot different than persuading them to buy street drugs or to do whatever. I'm not going to get too deep into this. Let me take a barometer reading of the chat. Are you following this? Am I boring you? Rules for Radicals, loving freedom. Absolutely. This is part of that. And people are, again, chat, speak up and let me know if this is not your cup of tea. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Again, I'm about 10 seconds behind on the chat. All right. So when you look at this, and this is, we see this in every part of our society taking place right now, but never so much as really in the online venue. There is a strong suggestion of certain personalities, if you'll be able to pick them out, presenting information or positions in the format of being disinformationalists or disinformationists. Some might say, oh, that's a psyop. For example, if you say that or think that, then there's a question that emerges. How can you be so sure? Or how can you even suspect that disinformation or psyops are being conducted? Well, the patterns of the personalities are pretty much self-evident. And I'm going to name four. The particular personalities are attached to only incredibly sensitive issues or positions. Now, again, think about this. This is deep. They typically get instantly personal. They are detached from normal standards of morality. Ooh. Such as the traditional American justice standards. And I would add, detached from the Constitution, and Bill of Rights, the law. They only support the government, their government, regardless of any practical, compelling, or moral positions to the contrary. That's why you see, I would argue, that's why you see so many people out there who with purple hair and whatever, tatted up, they look like clowns. And yesterday they were buying Teslas, and today they're burning Teslas. And it gets worse. It gets more complex. The underlying issue goes to the question of the casual poster, for example. How would I recognize a disinformationist or a psyops tech, somebody who engages in psyops? How does it work? Or stated differently, how can you tell a good guy from a bad guy or a woman? If you want to be real bare-bones simple, a good guy seeks to educate, to discuss, to debate, or illustrate with obvious, noble intent. The good guy is anchored to admirable principles or causes. Condemning the burning of churches and other venues, or even Teslas, for example, versus a serious attempt to arrest them or the actors, speaks to an attachment to American justice, okay? Now, approving or cheering the destruction that they're causing without any sincere remorse, and we see this all of the time by these communist leftists, without any serious remorse, is self-serving only, period. Big period. The bad guy is a destroyer. The major clue is that one particular control rule stands out. Perception control equals emotional control equals mind control. There are a number of methods for online perception control. When you target a person, the targeted person, for example, is really prevented from being allowed to discover what's going on or how she or he is being manipulated or his or her perceptions are being changed one step at a time or by whom. We saw this during COVID, the lockdowns. You can't ask questions. The person's social environment is often controlled, even online. A special emphasis is commonly discovered to be made in an attempt to control the targeted person's time. Online participants, they might be required to answer detailed questions, with the questions designed to frame a very controlled conclusion. Again, what have we seen over the past 4.5 years? Right? And most of the time, the people become unwilling participants. Now, there's more. I've got more, but I'm limited by the clock. So I'm going to leave it up to you, folks in the chat. Should we have more sessions like this? Is this helpful to you? Let me know in the chat, yes or no, or hey, you know what? Just shut up. But let me know. Because, folks, we are going to be called upon, I believe, to be the, for lack of a better descriptive analogy, lighthouses for the lost. Thank you for answering that in the chat. And chat service, thank you. there's so much more. It goes so much deeper. Your perceptions, for example, of Butler, even of the JFK, MLK, RFK assassinations. What are they doing? And the very people, whether they're a member of the House, a member of the Senate, or even a bystander. Folks, this is at work. They're working this. And we have to be that light.